Season 2 is coming. The final countdown. Please tell your friends to watch this show.
This is not the final year. This is a trick. Chick 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 chick. I'm gonna show you my balls.
Your final countdown, man. Season 2's coming, baby.
We'll see.
Jeremy, I don't know about you, but I cannot handle this optimism tonight.
Take it down a notch.
Oh, God, really? We should probably just shut it down, dude. You're going to be so hyped by the end of this video because of me.
No.
You saw my text when I sent you the video? I sent you the video and I was like, I think I hate Riff Juggin. Because he's like, I'm here to not announce the season date whenever it comes out. I was like,
I know, that was kind of a big fuck you.
I've decided on a date. If we don't have a date, it doesn't have to be on. We just need a date. If we don't have a date by San Diego Comic-Con, you guys can talk about whatever the fuck you want. But my contribution to this podcast is going to be recapping Lost.
I'll rewatch Lost with you.
When is San Diego Comic-Con?
July 20th.
We better have a fucking thing by then. Well, you know, Debbie Downer, there's a lot to be very excited about. I am your satiated wolf brother for the moment and almost rabid because I'm going to tell you lots of reasons why once we get into it.
Thank the light, everyone. I'm here.
We're here too.
Great energy. Just good energy, start to finish. No one had a worse weekend than me, so fuck you both. Get on board right now.
Well, no wonder you're excited about it. This is as good as it gets for you. Dreaming about the fact that there may someday be a Wheel of Time podcast, that's going up.
No, there is Wheel of Time. It's coming. There's lots of reasons. Also, shout out to What Up, please. Thank you, John.
Seriously.
Such a great thing.
You gave us about 4 minutes of promo on your video, which was very, very cool. I love watching your videos anyway, but you know, we need this podcast is going to be pretty much breaking down your video and one other one because of all the news that just dropped at JordanCon. And when I say break it down, maybe these guys are just going to nod their heads and go, but I got a lot to fucking say about the shit that's going down, and good and bad.
No, you're right. Jonathan McDonald, at What Up, thank you very much. We've, like Justin said, your podcast, your YouTube channel has come up on our show before.
Many times.
But this is an official shout out. Yeah. Thank you, What Up.
And if you don't subscribe to What Up and you're a Wheel of Time fan and you haven't listened to us, go follow him. He's amazing. He gets scoops all the time. He's got really good content and he's a bigger Wheel of Time fan than I think even either one of us. My only issue with him is that Gawain's one of his favorite characters. We'll let that slide. Just kidding, man. I just want to say thank you a lot. I really appreciate it.
And he's very professional as opposed to us. He actually sits down, talks about what's going on.
Yeah, more journalistic approach. Dude, he's your guy.
And he's got great video, too. Yeah, he's very entertaining. And I think he's really trying to get to 20,000 subscribers or 20,000 likes.
He's trying to get to 20,000 subscribers, so
go in there, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button. But also, you did something that was just amazing for me because I was sitting there watching that video when my wife was sitting next to me and was commenting saying, wow, look, he's got a really nice little podcast studio there. Oh, that's cool. You guys don't have that. Oh, that's really nice. Like, he's got the books behind him, too. Like, it's framed. Oh, he does video. You guys don't do video. And then within like 2 minutes, it comes up, you come up and say, thank the light podcast. And I got to pause it and look over at her like, ha, 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 ha. She just was sitting there kind of stunned. It was kind of good.
That's awesome. Like, oh, so you didn't like give her any kind of like a setup for it?
No. She had no idea it was coming. I wasn't sure it was coming either. I just happened to be watching the thing.
You tell your wife I got a sweet Firefly poster in the background?
No, and I should have. I would have been.
And the skateboard I broke my wrist on?
You put that on your wall, huh?
Is
that's
that
awesome.
The one?
That's the one.
You fucking mangled your arm. You more than broke your wrist. You mangled your arm.
The art I bought off a street artist.
Is that an, what is that, an owl?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
I know what art is.
It was bad. I was there. It was not great.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was there, and then he was there a week later when the photographer had to go to the hospital because he broke.
Was it you first and then him? I couldn't remember. I always forget with Donnie that snapped his fucking bird wing first or you.
Yeah, no, it was me because
they were both like real fucking bad too. Like Johnny's was gross, dude. We had to ride the bus home because we were skating at the U and he broke it and he was just like, yeah, it's broken. It's just like fucking, he had like two elbows. It was bad.
And Johnny was one of those like, he's just one of those guys that's just strong. You know, those people, they've never lifted a weight in their life, but they can fucking.
I hate all of them.
He's from Georgia, so.
They could put a Volkswagen over their head. So like they were trying to put his arm back in the socket and they couldn't fucking do it, and they had to go. I remember in the middle of it, they're like, we need more morphine, more morphine. And they had to like run to the morphine locker and they had to call extra doctors in to like fucking yank on his arm to get it back in the socket. Meanwhile, I'm in the corner and I had my cast on, and all the nurses that helped me were there too. They're like, hey, we remember you.
Desmond.
Yeah, because it was literally, I think it was two days later.
It was within the week.
And that wasn't that long after. And I got into a fight too, or like we got into a fight right after. Well, we didn't really get in a fight. I kind of whooped his ass because he decided to start shit. But sir, and like laying on the ground bleeding, and you shouting in his face, "This is what you get because you never shut up, never stop talking shit, and this is what you get." Tony was like, "Dude, maybe we should get him a towel."
And in lieu of all of this. This stuff. I am excited to talk about some stuff, but I don't know the best way to approach it. So Justin's going to be running point on this episode to guide us through it.
Yeah, I'm going to be, I'm your more serious Sedai for sure tonight. I would definitely, most of it, a lot of it is just, you know, stuff that I think is awesome, but there are some things that I feel like have maybe given lie to some of our theories, either outright or, you know, kind of subtly like, oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe we're wrong about that. I know one for a fact I'm going to bring up. We're 100% wrong about it. Jeremy and I both really thought that this was going to happen. And it's like, nope, that's not going to happen. And
I know exactly what you're talking about, too.
In a good way, not going to happen. It's a great thing to me, I think.
I think so, too.
I would have been okay with the other thing, but for it to go forward like this, like that's fucking great because that means that a lot of other things.
We don't have to beat around the bush.
It's Elida. It's Elida.
Yeah, it's Elida.
I'll beat Elida with a bush. She sucks. Well, no, Rufus Jadakiss came out and said straight away that, Elida is...
We should just start calling him Jadakiss.
Oh, I have like seven names we're going to bust out this whole podcast. Just wait. It's going to be great. But I sent you a couple and then, you know, like I was going to send that one and then I was like, no, I'm going to save that. No, he comes out and says, he's like, Elida is going to be in the show and she's going to be true to the book. And he's like, she's about as shitty as someone can be and not be a dark friend. He says it straight away. He goes, hopefully that's not a spoiler for anyone at JordanCon, but she's as shitty as you can be and not actually be a dark friend. So obviously they're not going to combine some of her plot points with Leandrin, which I would have been okay with. I mean, I understand there's stuff that's got to be changed, but I'm excited that she's going to be around. I think that's going to lead into some other things that, you know, maybe Rand in the courtyard in Camelin at one point or something similar, maybe in Tarvalin, coming across her somehow. You know, fuck it. Let's just start watching the video and go through it because otherwise it's going to be so discombobulated. That's why I was kind of holding off.
Well, I'm not really sure. I'm going to kind of have it on in the background, but I don't know if we really want to go through.
I just meant like kind of skim it, you know, but we don't have to. I can just run through what. So first off, we're watching John's video. We're watching the What Up video. And I watched a couple other ones, but his really does a good job of kind of hitting all the bullet points. The JordanCon YouTube was a little more in depth, which was really cool too. But you get your first glimpses of Bane, Shi'ad, and Avienda in costume, which is fucking super cool.
Their costumes look great. I can't even lie.
The spears are super cool. Like, and there's subtle differences. You know, it's not like they're all cookie cutter, you know?
Yeah.
Like one's got the kind of, you know, they got the bucklers and they got the spears, but then like one of them's got kind of a vest and then one of them's got kind of like a, almost like a leather cummerbund, but they're all subtly different, which I thought was really cool. And
bringing it back to the 80s. Leather bow tie as well.
What is it? I don't know what we're saying.
You said a leather cummerbund. I said, yeah, and a leather bow tie as well.
Oh, right. Yeah. But they look cool. The Made in Hancock, I look forward to seeing more of the Made in Hancock because it was a little, it's cool, but a little stiff because obviously they were still learning it probably.
You know what? I was kind of hoping that they would use American Sign Language though. I thought that would be cool if you're hearing impaired and you were watching the show.
But they made up their own thing.
I know, but what I'm saying is, I guess I should have said that. They've actually made up their own sign language. But wouldn't it have been cool if they didn't translate anything on the screen because they didn't want to say what maidens were actually saying and they wanted to keep it mysterious. But if you knew ASL, you could know exactly what's going on and what they were saying. I thought that would be kind of cool.
That's kind of cool, but I don't know. I don't know.
Then I could have watched it with my son who went to his preschool was primarily for the hearing impaired. He's not hearing impaired or deaf.
That's cool.
But most of his classmates were. So he learned a lot of stuff.
Did he learn it real fast?
He knew quite a bit. We didn't think he was learning any until one day he was at the dinner table and he started signing all these foods. And it's like, oh, right. You know the ones that matter.
Well, we could have Big Red on and have him try to dissect Maiden Hancock. His dad is deaf and then his daughter is deaf. She has a cochlear implant now. So she can hear, but like he used to tell me this story about like his, you know, teenage years, you're a fucking asshole, right? His dad would be, you know, bitching him out and he'd just be like, cover his eyes. And he said that was like, if he ever really wanted to piss his dad, but turnabout is fair play. After she got her cochlear implant, he'd start bitching at her and she'd be like, take it out and be like, oh, what? I didn't have my ever seen. He's like, you little shit, I watched you fucking pull it off your head. Don't fuck around with me. That was pretty funny.
Kids are the best.
He's like, hey, I probably deserve that. So, no, I just thought it was really cool to see them in costume, and that just made me fucking so stoked immediately. I was like, oh, wow, dude, I can't imagine if that's what they're letting you see.
Yeah.
And then a couple of the other actors in those things, Jeremy, like Priyanka Bose was talking about all of her costumes. The lady, I can't remember her name, the gal who plays Leanne is like one of my favorite costumes I can't even talk about.
Yeah.
Because I think their NDAs are so tight. I actually was just kind of like looking at the DMs from Twitter and Guy, he hit us up in like October and was like, hey man, he's like, just hit me up in like 5 or 6 months and then I could probably, I should have taken that to know that we're probably actually getting close because that was October.
Okay.
We just hit April, it's about 6 months. And then it's like, you can really feel like you can see it starting to ramp up. I think that people like the What Up dude, John, I think he knows some people that are maybe a little more behind the scenes and they can only say so much, but they probably hint at a lot.
Yeah.
I would assume so.
And if you can read between the lines too, like I think, you know, they skim their NDA as close as they can.
Sure.
And if you know what's going on, you're like, I know what that means. Like if you're really paying attention. But one of the cool things, and I think some of the characters you've already touched on are characters that but you guys have talked about maybe they'll be amalgamated with other characters. Like, I don't know if we're going to get a so-and-so. Like, we might get, her story might get gobbled up by what's her name. And so we've got like three of the maidens of the spear.
Well, and two of those maidens have a connection to another Aielman that I really love, who's very important to Perrin. And so if they are both in it, I got to assume that maybe Gaul will be too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things that I'm like, you know, maybe read between the lines. Maybe I'm getting my hopes up too much, but I'm like, if they're going to be in it, besides being close with Avienna and being a part of the Aiel story, and they're very important to Fael, which becomes, you know, Perrin's lady. So whoever, maybe if Perrin has a love interest, they will probably attach to her, I would assume, if they're trying to stick to it. But the guy that the Aielman that Perrin gets close with becomes entwined with them as well. And so if they're going to be in it and be that big of a thing, I'm super excited that may mean, you know, Gaul.
Yeah, I agree. And it's kind of a good thing too, because you kind of see the, I don't want to call it dating habits of the Aiel.
The courting rituals.
Yeah, the courting. Okay. The courting.
You get to see the courtship. They definitely have some rituals that are not even the customs. Almost.
Courting. No, it's exactly what Des said. It's courting.
Yeah, but there are some elements of like sometimes not necessarily like an arranged marriage, but it's like families and family, almost like Rand and Egwene. Their families were close. They grew up together. Right. Meh. It's like it's matchmaking type, but you know they'll go from between holds, you know, and to make more like. It's almost like Game of Thrones peace packs, you know, like to keep the peace. I was actually looking at, I got a new notebook today and I was running through my notebook with, I wanted to keep some of the ideas. And one of the things I want to do is a deeper dive on like the Aiel warrior societies, because they all have their kind of own stuff, you know?
They're way different.
Yeah. We got some other characters. We got the, I can't say her name right, Jeremy. The lady who's going to play Shiriam by NR.
Yeah. Before that, we do that though, in the very beginning of the video, the Rafe video, he talks about where he's sitting.
Yes.
In on the set.
Yes. And there's more than one actor that actually bring up that scene and that set too.
Okay. So he says it's something that's very important in season two and season three. Where do we think it is? It looks like it's in a cave, kind of. So if you look in the background, you can kind of see some arches.
Oh.
There's a little bit of arches around there if you go and look at it.
Oh. Yep.
I'm thinking maybe it's the three arches.
Well, what else would be two and three that would be that important to maybe more than one character, essentially? It's got to be that. It's got to be that.
Well, okay, it doesn't have to be that.
But Desmond, goddammit, are you joining his team? Come on. You're either supposed to be neutral or on my team. We started this together.
I don't care what this show is. I just want the show.
So there was a big cave scene in the first season too, right? That had nothing to do with the books. We could, if you would have saw that, you'd be like, what cave is there in the first? Actually, there's two cave scenes in the first season. And we would have been like, we would have been, you know, pulling our hair out, trying to figure out what it was. It was nothing. Nothing from the books, at least. So...
yeah, nothing from the books, at least. So,
could it be something from the books? Absolutely. But he said there's blood and water and all this other stuff. So now I'm like, I don't know.
But think about blood and water inside a bunch of different stuff. That would make sense that it's a touring role because it's more of a vision. It's not actually there. But like filming it, it would be, you know.
That first season, did they put that scene in the cave to make the special effects easier?
Probably.
There's no other reason.
Which one?
With the false dragon. When they have the big fight.
You know, now that I think about it, there's three caves, actually. There's a lot of caves in the first season, right? Because they spend that night
in there.
They
even are kind of in a little cave in the night with the bats, dude.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I was thinking about. I was like, man, there's a lot of caves. Holy cow.
We call that deep throat cave, bat deep throat cave. It's our favorite.
I thought I got this when I brushed my teeth earlier. Turns out I didn't get it.
Kids, and that is how you actually get rabies.
Yes.
That's how you get rafies. Oh!
You were Judkined. All right. What were we talking about?
Cave? No. Anyways. Cave? Believe it or not, Judkin.
You know what? I think you're probably right. It's probably just easier for the special effects. And you get to like have all this stuff shoot out, pin that one girl to the wall.
Yeah.
It doesn't really work if she just, you know, falls on the ground, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I don't know. Just wondering, just like, because, yeah, I assume they make some of those changes, not just because, and because of all the special effects that had to happen in there, it makes kind of sense that they might want to enclose that.
We've worked in enough jobs where before you worked the job, you thought something was one way. And then when you get there, you realize, oh, you did everything out of convenience. Oh, now yeah. I get it.
So that other way wasn't the right way?
No.
Actually, it was about as wrong as you could get. So we got to find out about Shiriam already. They had that little thing with how do you say it? Rimati Wiata.
And I'm sure I butchered that still, but yeah.
No, I think that's right. I remember seeing her and I was kind of like, oh, I don't know if she'll be... Dude, after seeing her little thing and about how excited she is to be in the Wheel of Time, I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. Oh yeah. Like anyone who's excited about that is like, if you're that excited to play it, like you're gonna fucking kill it. And to see the actors talking about it made me super excited. That's what actually made me the most excited about it, other than, you know, you got some cool little snippets. And I think, like you said, reading between the lines, we get a lot of stuff that I think that it's fun to speculate and guess upon. But to see them talk about how excited they are about certain things is what really makes me stoked. And, you know, going into season three as well, like, oh, you guys, just wait.
One thing that when I watched the video, I was like, she would have been a perfect Varen. I wish she would be playing Varen.
She would have been. Do you think it's going to be the Mira Sayal, the darker kind of lady with the, she's got, you've seen pictures of her. She's got like a, she doesn't strike me as Varen as much, but.
I almost like switch the two, but they've already filmed everything.
Dude, I agree. But whatever, if it works out, it works out. But I kind of agree. But that's just because we have a certain idea of them in our head.
Yeah.
And so if Varen ends up being the Mira Sayal, she's a little bit darker complected. Her eyes are a little darker. She's a little bit more... See, Varen kind of has the plump, forgetful grandmother thing going for her. But for TV, maybe kind of like the mysterious, like, you want to not be able to figure her out. And so...
The only reason I liked it is because she has, in a couple of movies, she has this really like bubbly personality that she could play off of and just be like, cut it off whenever she wanted to.
Right.
And you'd be like, oh, she's not the airheaded person that you think she is.
Right. I agree. But I almost think that they use that for the more like nurturing aspect of Shiryam that really isn't there in the books.
Okay.
They wanted to give her a little bit more of a, I'm the mistress of novices. I do actually care about my little chickens, you know?
That's true. She has that very like motherly ability, you know?
I feel like, you know, that's something that will give that character a little more depth that she did not have in the books. And I really would like that a lot.
And did you guys still have, I'm sure you didn't run out after we talked about it and go see Hunt for the Wilder People?
No.
But she is so good in that movie. She is so good.
This is Mistress of Novices.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know you guys just talked about this and I'm sorry. I was,
Desley, I'm sorry. I don't care about this anymore.
Well, I decided to put up the actual, video.
I was thinking of laundry. Something important.
Laundry.
Is, you know, thank you, Wodup, for your recap, but I decided to put on the video they actually sent to Jordan Khan. Put up the video that Wodup.
It's a little more, you know, you get a little bit more, he hits the bullet points.
But anyway, so I wasn't paying attention. I think you guys were talking about this, but she's a little bit older and more motherly than you imagined her in the books.
Well, I think that maybe that might be one of the reasons why they casted her, because I think
right.
She's immediately just by her.
But you didn't picture her when you were reading the books. You had pictured someone.
I did, and I didn't. I pictured her something a little, someone more colder, almost.
Yeah.
Not quite Nicole Kidman-ish, maybe Julianne Moore-ish, like, but cold.
Yeah.
Just really cold.
Yeah.
You know, matter of fact, but, you know, firm but fair type teacher, almost. But given the journey of that character, giving her something that's a little bit more warming and loving is kind of a fucking nut punch. So
yeah,
I think it's awesome, depending on how she plays it. But just seeing her talk once and hearing how you've talked about her, like, I can really see her adding a layer of that character that makes her more, you know, caring and a little bit more motherly, because she is the mother of the you know, mistress of novices, that it'll be a little bit more fuckery, you know, when certain things happen.
Also, Rima Tewiata, her name is like a perfect Wheel of Time name already. They should just use your regular name.
Right? I mean, she's... If Wheel of Time was porn, she'd have the perfect name.
Rima Tewiata.
The last character that we get is a big, hunky, blonde dude. His name is Jay Duffy. I believe they said he's Australian. He's going to be playing Dane Bornhall.
He's Irish.
He's Irish? Okay.
He's Irish.
Yeah, he's an Irishman. But he's going to be playing Dane Bornhall. John, from what up, was saying, he speculated that he was going to be playing Gawain for the longest time, and obviously he's not.
Yeah.
Super excited to see that dude. He looks like he can pull off a private pile, you know, fucking, like, actually, he said it in the video, you can pull off 1,000 yards there, and I agree. I think, you know, Dane is a really important character to Perrin's arc, to Pod and Fane's arc.
Battle of the Two Rivers arc.
The Battle of the Two Rivers. He is at Falm with his father, I believe.
No. Nope.
No, he wasn't at Falm. He heard about Falm. But yeah, no, he's an important character and not a bad guy, not a good guy either, but a really good...
He has a redemption arc.
He does, yes, he very much... But, yes, but it's not like, yeah, you're a hero now arc. It's like, damn, I mean, at least you owned up to it, you fucking piece of shit arc.
Yeah. I guess you're okay.
I guess we're cool. This is how he does Perrin real fucking dirty.
The slayer of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
He keeps a secret. Let's put it that way. He keeps a secret.
Yeah, it's maybe he doesn't dirty in a way anymore.
He doesn't really do anything. He kept a secret. He's lucky that Perrin didn't kill him.
He doesn't do anything to make it worse, but he doesn't do anything to help either.
No, he does not.
And that's, you know, if you're a white cloak, you're supposed to be a good guy and not let shit like that go down for
sure. And especially not supposed to participate.
So the who plays Bane, she's from Vikings. I haven't watched that. I don't know if you guys have, but her name's Raga. What's the face, Tess?
The the book specialist. Did you guys watch the video where you get, do you guys?
Sarah Nakamura?
Yeah. She was also on the additional crew for Winter Dragon.
Shut up. No.
Yes.
Like, she was part of putting that together?
She must have been a kid.
I mean, she was.
I love it.
She was.
I love that.
Yeah, because I was looking it up. I'm like, what else is she?
That's amazing.
Yeah. Production consultant.
That's a good reason for that face. Shut up. She must have been like college, barely, dude.
Yeah, like I was like, oh, what else? She must do something else. She must like consult on other TV shows. But she's just a born and bred Wheel of Time specialist. That's
that's one of the notes I actually have about her is like we probably should really kiss her fucking feet because a lot of the. I mean, I know Rafe is a fan too. But I think probably some of the really cool fan service moments that we did get and are going to get are probably going to be, if not her ideas solely, her pressing like, hey, I think this is important. You know, I think that it sounds like they listen to her a lot, her opinion, at least about us, at least about small tweaks and things like that. About
they listen and then immediately disregard it, everything she says.
Oh, come on, man. Just one episode where you're not a dick.
Oh, no, it's not going to happen.
I even had like my crystals out, like my fucking Sidene crystal, all black. I got the Sidar crystal. Not working.
No, sorry. Get a channel into those.
These aren't Sar Angrials. These are not Tar Angrials.
Tar Angrials. They're Y'all Angrials.
They're Y'all Angrials.
Y'all's Angrials. Did you hear the part where he talked about that they're going to have a nod to the Texan accent for the Sean Chan as well?
Yeah, what do they say? Everything's bigger in Sean Chan. I have written down.
I think that would be hilarious if they all would be like, they talked in like this like high English accent, but then ended every sentence with y'all.
Y'all. That would be pretty funny, actually. I'd have a pretty good laugh at that shit. Yeah, no, that's what they're like. What are they? They're going to have a nod. I never thought of their accents as being Southern drawls, but I guess that kind of makes sense where they always talk about how they.
Well, I would have never either, but that's what Robert Jordan said in an interview. And I
pictured it more of like a slurry English. I don't know.
Yeah. Remember the old guy in, what was the movie? What was the second of the Coronado trilogy after Shaun of the Dead? What's the
Hot Fuzz? Yeah, I'm
Hot Fuzz.
Remember the guy? Edge is Edge. What's the problem? Yeah, that they talk like that. You're just like, yeah. What did he say? What do we need the dog for? We don't need the dog. We need him to translate.
All right. This is Sarah Nakamura responding to backlash from episode 8. Some of you guys really need to take a deep breath, relax, and think twice about coming after a stranger on the internet. For those of you asking, I sleep very well at night. And I'm really, really proud of the work that I do and the support that I provide. But gonna need for people that are questioning me to looking up the meaning of consultant and also the meaning of advice. I am not a producer. Bottom line, I am not a producer. I can't make anyone do anything. I don't let things happen because I'm not a decision maker. I provide support. I advise and fight battles that maybe feel like I need to fight.
I respect her more.
I've seen her from the beginning and I love her. I love her. No, I think that the good things that we've gotten
agreed
from the show that we really love. I mean, I think it's probably a large part due to her making sure that they get stuff right.
Well, and also too, probably her biggest job, I bet, is going like, okay, so you want to do
Rand wouldn't do that.
Well, even who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck? If so-and-so does that, then we can't do this in book 8. So...
Right. If Trollocs do this, then that takes away one of the mechanics of them like, fighting later.
You're not just whatever, changing you know? This scene. You're changing the whole fucking arc of this character.
You're changing something fundamental about this world in certain ways. And so...
Which, again, is fine. But just know that you have now changed the gravity of this whole planet. So... You got to deal with all that.
When you were on my side before and wearing a fucking white cloak Nazi. Yeah, that's strong. That was strong. I'm sorry.
Ouch.
I'm sorry. Wow. That wasn't cool. Just here's the thing, though. When you were like more positive, forgot my point. But when you were more positive, you were saying like they don't just make changes just to say fuck you. There's always a reason. And given the amount of things they had to deal with in the first season, and I started to think about it, there is no way and I read all the Game of Thrones books, I was not nearly as critical of that show as I am about this show, because I didn't love it as much as I love it. And so when I really just try to sit back and watch it as a show that is not such a big part of my life, it was really good. I missed out on some certain things, and I think that they can do such a better job. And I'm really excited to see what comes down the pipe next, because I think it's going to be amazing.
The only decision I'm mad about is their decision to put off season two indefinitely. That's the decision I'm pissed off about.
Listen,
once they correct that one choice and they decide to actually release a show,
it's coming. I played the song for you. It's coming.
This is what filled me with terror. And if this happens, we're gonna have to make some changes in how we produce this show. If they decide to,
we're just gonna start watching movies. We'll start watching movies.
If they officially decide to leapfrog The Wheel of Time and Lord of the Rings.
What do you mean?
Every other year.
Oh, you mean this? You mean this season two?
Every other year, we get a Wheel of Time, and every other year, we get a Lord of the Rings.
I don't think they're going to pull that, because it would make the actors too old for one, and you would make it fucking like 14 years to do it to fruition. You can't fucking
do
that.
I don't think they can do
that. They can still bang it out in 5 years, and Amazon can rake in the money for another 15.
I don't see that happening. There's no real...
You can't hold people's interest for that long.
You would lose people's... Yeah, this not in this world, and the fucking scrolling on Instagram, instantaneous entertainment. You can't, dude. Even fucking releasing it, how they're going to release it, is going to fucking make... I mean, for us nerds that don't want it to be over too fast, it's great. I'll wait a week every week, and it's perfect for us, because we are going to can record it that night, and it's great. But most people are going to want you to release it fucking all 8 episodes in a day so they can watch it and move on.
For the average Amazon Prime viewer who will never read any of these books, they're still getting their annual fantasy fix.
Maybe.
Yeah, but it's not like that. It's not an annual fantasy fix. It's a show. And a show has to have a cohesive...
It has to have a complete cohesive arc, start to finish.
Do you remember when The Sopranos did like 2 years in between, but then they had extra episodes? Everyone was like, all right, well, we did 2 years in between, but we're going to get extra episodes.
Well, and I feel like that the reason why they're taking so long, I feel like season three is going to come on the heels a lot faster than this for something. They're already filming it, and they're already doing it. So I feel like by the time they get this one out, they're going to be like
it better.
I feel like they're doing it to, like I said, to keep the timeline and keep everybody looking how they're supposed to. I think they're going to have to fucking, they're like, okay, we know we got backed up with COVID. Now we're going to do this shit. But one of the things that Kate Lee was talking about is that scene that she was talking about, I think it's the same one that Rafe was talking about. She was like, it took us 45 minutes to film it, but it took us 6 months to get it done.
All right. I'm okay.
And I'm sure Sarah Nakamura, is that her name, right? Sarah?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's the same as Justin and I. We want to see everything that was in the book on the screen. Everything. Like, just make it come to life.
Yeah.
But there's not enough budget in the world for that.
Yeah.
And honestly, there's a certain parts that you could just cut out.
There really isn't.
Yeah. So there's not enough money. There's way too many characters. You can never make everybody happy. And I completely understand that.
Yeah.
So why would you give her...
Yeah, that's my note right there. It's like, we really should thank Miss Nakamura, because she's probably the reasons why we've got some of the stuff that was really, really good that we really loved.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So why would you be mad at her?
Because people are terrible on the internet.
That's true, too.
People are stupid on the internet, man. They think they can just... Because they're like, we joke around like, oh, we could write better scenes, and like, we're having a laugh at it. But the people who are texting her, they really believe it, and they fucking would never...
Yeah.
They can't fucking barely write their name on a piece of paper, but they think that they can do better than someone else. I'm absolutely feral again for the show, so fuck you, Jeremy, is one of my notes. But I'm going to change Jeremy to Desmond, because he's being a dick today.
Yes.
You can just add it to Des.
Oh, one of the things also that they talked about, and I didn't see the actual clip, but Wanup was talking about that this, speaking of caves, this cave scenes, Loghain could not see what Nynaeve was doing with the power. He just saw the effects.
I did see that.
Of what was happening. The rocks flying around, people being hailed, her hair is fucking flying everywhere. So I think it's more of like,
I personally think that's a retcon.
Had a lightning... you might be right, but whatever. whatever. I mean, I don't care.
I think they went back and went, oh, they're not, he's not supposed to see that. Right. Oh, if there was actually something going on, or if people couldn't see it, then we wouldn't have shadows on the wall. Ooh, yeah, we have shadows on the wall.
Yeah, I feel like kind of a retcon, but also it's a retcon that makes sense to me, because if you had a lightning strike close enough to you, you know, you would kind of feel something was going down, even if you didn't know exactly what happened. And so if you're having that much of the power, if you can channel, for one, I guess he's, yeah, if you can channel, which at that point he still can, and you have someone else channeling around you, and let's not forget, men do have a one-up on women in that way. They can tell when a woman channels.
Women can't tell when women channel?
Women can't tell when men channel.
Yes. Women cannot tell when men channel. Men can tell when a female channels.
So like if someone's standing next to you and she starts channeling, like the guy gets goosebumps. Like it's a physical reaction. But women don't have the same for men.
Huh.
It's cool subtle differences that men and women have that are really, sometimes it's like, oh, that's kind of a weird, I don't know why you would do that, but it just makes it slightly different. And just, I don't know, it's kind of weird and out of left field.
And it kind of, it just works.
Yeah, like women can link together. Like two women can link. Guys can't do that at all.
That is definitely, they're definitely giving these interviews in the middle of the archways.
You think so?
I'm going to just say it.
I think so too.
That was my first impression.
You know, I was racking my brain because I was thinking, you know, blood battle, but like, do that make sense? Because they could be showing a little bit of Egwene's, they could be showing a little bit of Nynaeve's, they could show a little bit of Elaine's, and so you could get several things there.
Well, and it's subtle, but you can see they're not straight pillars. They, like, when the camera pans up a little bit, you can see them start to purr.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I hope that we get to see it.
I was too busy looking at Rafiki Judikin's face.
He looks like one of the Lost Weasley brothers, huh? Rafe Weasley.
Ding, ding, ding. I think we have our singer. Actually, Jeremy, what you were just saying about the Sidar and the Sidhe and the subtle differences about, you know, and it is cool. They did talk about something that I forget about a lot. And Desmond, I'm sure that you probably being a Uber film dick, the unreliable narrator.
Yes.
Factor. I think Jeremy and I really can't, or I don't know, speak for yourself, but for me, because I know so much about this, the unreliable narrator factor, it doesn't hit with me, because I know they're unreliable. Generally, I'm like, that's wrong. That's not how that goes. And then so maybe that ruins some of the suspense, but the unreliable narrator part for me is great. This is one of my favorite things I realized when I don't know anything, but then I don't even notice it at other times. It's not a bad thing or a good thing. I don't realize it as being an unreliable narrator. I just go, that's wrong.
Well, and that's where they want to maintain that unreliability for the watcher, but they can't do it. It's not a one-to-one, and that,
like, they can't just lie, but they have to kind of keep it, you know.
Well, that's where any eight of you could be the dragon, and it's like,
right,
we're like, oh, okay, you know. But if you've never read the books,
Nuh-uh.
You don't plan on reading the books, then that's kind of a cool little like oh,
right, absolutely,
happen,
you know? If you can take that out of it, you're like, okay, we don't know what's going on. Me and Jerry are just like, nope, 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 nope. I'm just stupid. No, I don't like it.
Oh my God. So bad. So bad.
Does it really upset you that much?
I hated it. I hated it so much.
Like, really? Like,
it,
oh,
yes,
man.
It did. Yeah. You know why? Because
you like so many terrible things, though.
I don't know why. Where you get off. Willow? I liked Willow when I was a kid.
But you know, that's a point for me.
Okay. You have a point.
Ding, I win. Name something else. Let's go.
I don't have to. You have to name something else. Cause
tell me something else you love so I could take a big fat. No, I don't know what you love.
Well, you just say I love so many bad things.
Oh, you love the jerk.
He kind of likes you, Justin. That's
true. I do.
Yeah, see?
I love him.
Suspect taste.
You're right, damn it.
Suspect taste right there.
No, I really did. I hated that. I hated
again,
that.
2 points for me. 2 points for me.
I hated that they made them five Tavirin. I hated that. I hated that any of them could have been the dragon. I hated it.
All right. Yeah.
I didn't like the way that they said Gwyn was going to be the wisdom. And so she wasn't going to marry Rand. And I was like, well, that's dumb. And
but then she's married to Rand and training to be the Wisdom.
Exactly. And then so she's going to be Aes Sedai. She finds out she can channel.
That is Rand's dream at that point, though.
But hold on. Then she's going to be Aes Sedai. So then she's not probably going to marry Rand. And you're like, well, you've gone from one thing to another and nothing's changed, really.
Yeah.
That bugged me, too.
Either way, you're not getting any more of Rand.
The Tervirin thing doesn't bother me because women are such strong characters in this series anyways.
Yes.
That for no women to have their finger in the weave,
yeah,
seems a little misguided. And I'm fine if they readjust that.
But in this series, women are in control of almost everything. So they're more the most powerful.
They are the fucking rich white guy of what the world we live in right now. They fucking run everything. And there are so many men that are just kind of like, I mean, there are kings and there are nobles and there are men who are important, obviously. But the real power in the world is Aes Sedai, and like powerful women really wield it too. As far as just like you have some queens like in Andor, they are some of the most powerful rulers in the world. The sea folk, the women are in charge. You know what I mean? Like, and so them having three Tavirin men who are very, very important and shit cannot get done without these three dudes together as friends makes a little more sense in a world that is so female-centric. But I'm like you, I don't care. You don't have 14 books to show that, you know, that world that is. But and then the reason it's so female-centric, Jeremy, I mean, I don't know, but because of the breaking, it's like, well, men can't be trusted now, no matter what. It doesn't matter if you can't channel. It's just you guys fucked it up. Now we're going to take over. And it's,
yeah,
you know, not even in a mean way. It's just like, hey, dude, why don't you all just go work in the field for a while?
So we're saying we're on the verge of a breaking.
If all the magically powerful people in the world are all women, they're naturally going to become the most powerful people on the planet. You know, they're just, they naturally are going to.
Oh, that's a fucking arch.
He hasn't been listening for 30 minutes. He's like, who's breaking down these set shots?
Holy, well, they just did a, yeah, they just.
Which one are you on?
Now that they're showing, I'm the one that they sent to JordanCon, and it's towards the end of the video, minute 18, when they show all three Maidens of the Spear.
Yeah, when they're standing there.
And so they really have to zoom out to show all three of them. And it's like, oh, yep.
But the thing about it is that, you know, and it is in the bowels of the tower, but it doesn't, the one thing that makes me think maybe not is that it's distinctly not White Tower-esque, but maybe they're putting that extra white gleam on in like post.
Could they be at the Aiel arches?
I wouldn't think not yet, dude. There's way too early for that.
Can you bring that up right now, Jess, and look at the video he's talking about at 18 minutes? There's like a sun pattern in the middle of that arch.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean anything to me.
What? Dude, it's Barthane's Manor, I bet.
No, because it's not a waygate. It doesn't look like a waygate.
It doesn't have to be a waygate. It could just be Barthane's Manor on the way to the waygate. What video am I looking for, man?
It's a cave, though.
Oh, you're a cave.
Ask the Wheel of Time on Prime anything. It's JordanCon video, or you can look up JordanCon video, and it's 18 minutes exactly.
Oh, that's definitely an arch, bro.
It's definitely an arch.
Yeah, you know what? If they're in the bowels of the tower, maybe it's just not white. I gotta think that's definitely an arch. Yeah, that's gotta be.
I'm right. Once again, I'm right.
Settle down. No one was disagreeing with you. One of the things they said about the power, too, is that it's going to be more intricate and different.
And also, Ayala Smart, who plays Avienda, is also in Cocaine Bear, which I watched the other day.
I know. I tweeted that like the other day. I'm like, we were watching it. I'm like, Avienda's in Cocaine Bear. I'm in. I love it.
What's her name in the show? Do you remember what her name was in the movie?
I don't know. I can't remember what her name was. No.
Her name was Reba. That's our grandma's
name. Right. Her name was Reba.
That's awesome. Because I'm excited, too, because the redhead from Modern Family is in it. Mitch.
Yeah.
Modern Family is in it.
He plays like the most like kind of like straight dude ever. And it's like so funny. It's so funny. Like big mustache and like, oh, God. Carrie Russell, who's like, I don't know. I think my wife looks like Carrie Russell, kind of, from The Americans.
Okay.
But I think she's super hot. But I think because she looks like my wife. So, and I love her. She's just a badass actress, too. If you ever watch The Americans, it's really good. I haven't watched all of it yet, but man, her and I can never remember the dude that plays her husband, but he's really good, too.
He's in it, too. He's in Cocaine Bear too. Remember, he's in the very beginning.
Yeah, that's right. The EMT with the little skinny mustache.
Yeah.
He's like a comedian. He does these viral videos and it's like about being in retail. If you ever come across it on Facebook, you'll recognize his face and you will fucking die laugh. Maybe not you because you've never worked retail, but it's like, if it doesn't scan, it's free. And you must be out of your fucking mind. It's just like, why'd you tell me something I haven't heard 30 times today? Just fucking, it's hilarious.
And I just want to back it up. Lisa could pass as Carrie Russell. They're not right?
I think so too.
They're not twins, but they're definitely cousins.
Definitely. Hot cousins.
I'm actually enjoying this episode a lot because I didn't have to do, you know, I didn't have to read the book. I didn't have to find a snippet. We're talking about new stuff. So despite my frustration, I'm actually really enjoying this episode of just talking.
Just gabbing.
Guys gabbing.
One of the things that I thought was good, the Lan's little talk on Rafe's thing was cool. When they started talking about the Trollocs, his favorite Trollocs are the bird ones like mine.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I liked Abienda's answer too. A dead one.
A dead one, yes. And those are people that know their characters. Like, those are the actors.
Right, yeah, exactly, dude. That's what I...
Answering those questions, not their characters. So it's like...
That's part of what makes me so stoked. It's like, okay, you guys get it, so...
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
They do have a Blade Master.
Yeah.
On set.
Yeah.
And they also have a Survivor winner, apparently.
I think you probably got to have that on anything.
Yeah. Well, unless, oops, you killed them.
Well, I was going to say, who did he kill to become a Blade Master? He thinks he's hot shit.
That would have been my question for Rafe. Oops, who did your Blade Master kill?
Yep.
Jeremy, question. With some of the things that Leanne said about costumes and whatnot, I'm thinking that the costume that she's talking about could be her in some version of someone's testing. What I really think is, do you think that Swan could get like pulled, you know, have what happens to her this season, like towards the end?
Sure. I mean, why not? If they're going to accelerate everything and she's going to be much more in the show, that would make sense. You know, it would make sense if it's not this season.
Well, and Elida coming too, you know, he says Elida's coming. So maybe not this season, but maybe beginning of the third season, like first thing, or maybe very, very end. Like you see him like walking into Swan's chambers and like arresting her, like via Palpatine, you know, like style.
Man, I just read this too.
It's treason then.
What book did it happen in? Was it four or five? I think it's five. I'm pretty sure it's five. So yeah, I would say probably... You got to set, because you have to set up the rivalry with her and Elida first. And then I think, there's really not that much in the books, but I would.
Which is why we both thought, I think, that they were going to wrap it into Leandrin, because you can see her being defiant already.
Yeah. But you have to set that up. And then probably by the end of season three, yeah, you got to fulfill that.
Yeah.
There's so much they have to get done. And if they're only going to do eight seasons with eight episodes apiece, it's going to be just smushed. And smushed it together and smushed out. And it's going to be like a tube of toothpaste just squirting all over. I mean, it's just going to, there's so much they're going to have to try to cram in it.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, you start thinking about, and Desmond, this isn't going to mean a lot to you, but you start thinking about Savannah, Kuladin, the way stuff that's going to be coming up with Kadir and his partner, Kylie, and Nateel, you know, like there's so much. There's so much.
Some of this is going to happen in the fourth season. And then you got to talk about Rudy, and then he's going to have to go through the crystal things, and then you're going to have the things on the wrist. So much is going to happen. That's just in the fourth book.
When he goes to Al-Kardai.
Yeah.
Or when he goes to Al-Kardal or whatever, the bowl place where he talks to everybody. And then, dude, yeah. And then you have all the Band of the Red Hand stuff. Oh, man. Oh, God. That's why I got excited, because it just started. To all that stuff, and I'm just like, yes, no matter what, we're not going to get everything that we love, but we're going to get a lot of stuff that's cool. So I'm really stoked to I'm excited to just see what I love to see on screen. I'm actually excited to see the differences. I hope I like them. I mean, I won't hate them as much as other asshole.
No one could hate it as much as I do. No one.
I just hate not having a show. They give me a show, I will love it.
He just hates listening, reading is what
I
he hates.
I like TV. I'm a TV kid.
So you're saying the books were not better?
No, he's never going to say that.
I win! again, Luz Theron.
I love the books. I love the story. But anything that I can bang out in 60 episodes instead of 160,000 hours.
You fucked up. You signed up for this. You ain't going to get away from it.
Dez is going to have to start listening to the abridged audiobooks.
Do they have that?
No, they don't.
Wheel of Time for Dummies.
No, they don't. They don't exist.
You know what? If I listen to like 5 minutes and then skip 5 minutes and listen to 5 minutes and then skip 5 minutes, I'll be fine. I'll get it all.
Desmond, you could listen to each book 4 times and you'd still miss so much stuff because there's so much in it. So just run through it and do your best. We'll cover the, you know, you don't have to pay that close attention to it. Find some stuff that's interesting and then we'll talk about it.
No, I like how I'm going about it now, right?
And I'm going to, if you want, dude, also, if you want, man, I will start where you're at and start going forward and just starting to pick some clips too.
You'll still be, no, because I, right now I'm on a good pace because I binge it and then I take a break and then I binge it.
Why does like it? Because it's, again, our good friend at What Up said, you know, please go give him a follow and a like and a subscribe. You know, it's fun to, you know, some of my funnest moments, whether they were silly or fucking ridiculous or closer to right on, is your theories. What the fuck's up with that fucking baby? Like, such some of my funnest moments on the podcast is you telling me what you think or having questions that, you know, sometimes that I've never thought of and stuff that Lisa's watched the show and you know, been like, well, what about blank? You know, and I'm like, holy shit, I never thought of it from that angle ever, like not even a little bit. So it's like, it's always fun to have someone who's not 30 years deep into it.
Before I forget, I just want to say, I hope everyone who made it to JordanCon had fun. I know I enjoyed following your hashtags. It looks like you guys had a lot of fun with a lot of like-minded people. That looks like a blast. And we hope to join you one of these years. You know, I would like it to be next year, but I don't want to make too many promises.
God, I know. Just like the most wholesome group of like beautiful nerds. I want to go be a part of it so bad. It looks so much fun. But it's fucking, everybody just seems like so welcoming and fun. And like it's definitely a cool community, which is why it's really cool to get a shout out again from our boy, because, you know, I mean, talk about targeted. It's like, you're not just throwing it out there. You're throwing it out at people who were already into what we're doing. Like they're already about the Wheel of Time. They're already on like the scale of like, you know, we like the same kind of shit. So it's just really cool.
And if you guys want to give me something new to talk about, send in your questions and comments so we can talk about that instead of listening to me bitch about the same thing every week. We can talk about what you're interested in. Wouldn't that be fun?
All Dez does all episode is, wham, my peanut.
Any final thoughts from you, Jeremy?
Please tell your friends to watch What Up.
Yeah. And on that note, if I could take any prop from the show, I would take Barney Harris.
Oh.
That's too soon, man.
Man, I would take him and then bring him back.
Because
I like that guy. I really did.
Wow. I put him in the background on my shelf to prove what a fan I am. He just hang out behind me while I record. Better than your 15 books, John. I got Barney.
I wish I had an Aes Sedai to fix my lazy eye. On that note, see you guys later.
Hey, Desmond didn't do his sign off.
I know.
He didn't do the sign off.
Oh my God, you just broke me. Oh, holy shit.
So obviously next episode, cut that part out, Dez, and I'll be the lazy eyes tonight next time I sign.
No, this is gonna be the teaser stinger.
You're like, you're gonna be forever the lazy eyes tonight.
So if you want to check out another podcast, what you should do is check out this feed. Hopefully I got it done. And recently, just before this episode was released, we just recorded an amazing 13-host Sounds Awesome extravaganza with everybody on it. Justin and Jeremy are right smack dab in the middle of it. We talk to the Be Brave podcast, That Fitness Couple, Truth Not Trends, Time Pop, All the Answers. We all chit-chat on there. I couldn't have Justin and Jeremy on there for the whole thing because that's a lot of work, people. I already told you how much time I spent on it. And it's not even necessarily that it's a lot of work. The biggest problem is the technology of Zoom cutting everybody off. When we would all get excited, nothing got heard. And I just had to cut that whole section out because Zoom's like...
No, that sucks.
I can't hear one of you. I can't hear any of you. But most of it got through. There's only a couple of sections where I just had to be like, well, I guess that
that point got lost. And at the end of it, I just cut it to us at live and time pop and all the answers. We had an amazing conversation where philosophy and spirituality collided in a time travel discussion, and it's fucking rad. And I think everyone should check that out. So
I would have loved to be able to chat with Katie Moore and Scott and Cassidy, those guys. I've listened to them a little bit, and I know I've heard about them enough from you. So it's like, it was funny to hear her voice and actually be talking to me. It's actually kind of, you can tell her I said it's fucking terrifying. So
nice.
I'm like, she's gonna know secrets about me because I told her not to smoke pot.
She is like, sometimes we're going into a meditation and she'll just go, okay, Des. And I'm just like,
oh. God, dude, I don't know. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. She's like, oh, you made me want espresso. You're all, that's not espresso.
That's not espresso. No, she respects her talents, and she doesn't, like I said, she doesn't read everyone's mind. But when she's, you know, when she's in a meditation and she's, you know, going on that plane with you,
it's like you're screaming at her. So it's probably impossible not to. So especially if my, good luck reading me. She'd be like, squirrels, weed, sandwiches.
Well, it's hard. She does talk about it. Pot smokers do create kind of a taint, if you will, that can make it hard for her to, even when I've been smoking heavy cigars, she's like, she kind of sometimes has a hard time getting through all that muck to the point at hand.
But if you eat broccoli, it focuses.
I wonder if that has more to do with you or her.
May you always find water and shade.
In the words of Rafe Judykin, I'm not announcing the date for season two today. Good night now.
Good night.
Have a good night, guys.
Later, man. Love you, nerds.
That's a horrible analogy.
Speak for yourself, motherfucker.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Ding, ding, ding. I think we have our stinger.